Hello and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Evening Bible Studies with your speaker, Chris McCann. If you'd like more information or to hear more studies, visit our website at www.ebiblefellowship.com. And now with your evening Bible study, here's Chris McCann.
Good evening and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible Study in the Book of Revelation. Tonight is study number 32 of Revelation chapter 9. And we're going to be reading Revelation 9 verses 17 and 18. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three was the third part of men killed, by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. And I'll stop reading there. Again, we've been going verse by verse through the book of Revelation and now through Revelation chapter 9. And we've come to verse 17 where God is describing the 200 million horsemen and their horses. And both the horsemen and horses identify with God's elect. Let me read one more time from Joel chapter 2, which is a parallel passage. That is, it's another image, but it relates to the things we're reading in Revelation 9. And here we read of a great people and a strong God's mighty army that is coming forth in battle destroying. And we find in Joel 2 verse 4, it says, the appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen, so shall they run. So God's mighty army is likened both to horses and horsemen. And so we find 200 million horsemen. And yet God is going into detail concerning the horses now. Now we already saw that the horsemen, those that sat on the horses had breastplates of fire, jacinth and brimstone. We were able to recognize that the breastplate identifies with Christ. And so do fire, jacinth, and brimstone. It is all pointing to the characteristic of God in the day of wrath, in the day of judgment, as he pours out his fury upon the wicked. Well, then it goes on to say, towards the end of verse 17, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions. The heads of the horses. God likens the heads of the horses to heads of lions, and lions are ferocious beasts. They devour their prey. They are fierce animals that that you would not want to encounter in the open field. Sometimes God in the Bible likens those that bring false gospels to lions. And we know that Satan himself is said to go about as a roaring lion. That's true. But God also speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And we read this information in 1 Chronicles chapter 12. Now this verse that I'm going to read is the verse that I found that most identifies with Revelation 9:17 statement that they had heads, the horses had heads of lions. It says in 1 Chronicles 12 verse 8, and of the Gadites there separated themselves unto David into the hold to the wilderness, men of might and men of war, fit for the battle, that could handle shield and buckler, whose faces were like the faces of lions, and were as swift as the roes upon the mountains. Now here we see that these men of Gad, called Gadites, they separated themselves unto David. They became men of might, men for battle, and they could handle shield and buckler. They followed King David. And King David is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. So these men that separated themselves unto him and went to battle with him on his side would represent true believers, as in the spiritual battle that the Bible has been most concerned about, between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan, the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. God's people, of course, are with Christ, and the enemies of God are with Satan. So these Gadites, they are followers of David, and they are said to have faces like the faces of lions. And again, why? Well, because a lion is a destroying animal, and these men were able to destroy the enemies of David in battle. They were fit for the battle. And in Revelation 9, we can't forget, we are reading of the battle of Judgment Day. Of course, it's not much of a battle as far as competition goes, because the Lord Jesus is the victor. He is triumphant. He is exalted. Satan is defeated, put down, and deposed. And the armies of Satan, the enemies of God, are likewise being destroyed in the day of battle, which is Judgment Day. But even though it's not much of a battle, it nonetheless is looked upon by the Lord as a battle. And so the 200 million, remember that image in Revelation 19, in verse 14, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. That is another picture of the 200 million of God's elect riding upon their horses, and their horses had heads of lions, it says. And let's continue reading here. And the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. And again, God is repeating himself. He's made one substitution instead of jacinth. And remember, we looked at that word. The only other place in the whole Bible where you'll find the word jacinth is in Revelation 21, as it's used in connection with the heavenly city, the New Jerusalem, and therefore in connection with God's people. And so that word, after having served its purpose by making identification, so God is giving a little help to the one reading, to the one digging into these things, so they can understand that these 200 million are his people. After serving that purpose, then God substitutes that word for smoke. And now the breastplate was of fire, jacinth, and brimstone. But out of the mouths of these horses, who have heads of lions, issued fire and smoke and brimstone. It's basically repeating the same thing, just God is now adding the word smoke, which actually fits much better with the whole idea of his wrath. And notice that it is coming out of their mouths. And remember, the horses as well as the horsemen identify with the true believer. And when fire and smoke and brimstone issue forth out of the mouths of these horses with heads of lions, well, that is pointing to the people of God declaring the judgment of God, as God's people are doing and have been doing since May 21, 2011. Yes, many took the information into their mouth prior to May 21 and warned the world of the approaching day of judgment. And yet when God did not bring judgment day to pass in the manner that they had expected, in the manner that they could see with their physical eyes, and rather God brought about a spiritual judgment, well, that that declaring or speaking forth that issued out of their mouths prior to that day stopped. And many of those people no longer speak of May 21, 2011 as the beginning of judgment day. They would rather forget it all. They're embarrassed. They're ashamed. They're wanting to put it well into their past so no one sees their role in it or mentions it ever again. And so they're failing, of course, God's test. They don't recognize a spiritual judgment, even though incredibly they would, many of them would be the first to admit that yes, a spiritual judgment has come on the churches and congregations. They sort of like that idea because they're, many of these individuals are independent minded. They like being on their own when it comes to the gospel. They don't like someone telling them, as they would have a pastor or an elder do in a church, what the gospel is, and it's not because of those in the churches are telling them contrary things, but it has more to do with an independent spirit. They just want to be the ones that determine what the Bible says and is. And, you know, it's sad to understand that, but we must understand that because as God has continued to bring truth, they have rejected that truth, just like those in the church has rejected the truth of God concerning the spiritual judgment upon them. Well, now God has brought that same judgment, it's the same cup of wrath, to the people outside of the churches, and they are reacting in an identical way, in an identical manner to those that rejected the judgment of God upon them. And therefore, it leads to evidence to indicate that these people do not have spiritual eyes to see. They cannot see with their spiritual understanding the judgment that God has brought upon the world. And yet God's people see because God gives spiritual sight and understanding to his people. Remember what it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 8. And we didn't fully understand what this verse was speaking. As it says in verse 5, whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing. And a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. You see, by the word both, God is indicating there's two things that need to be discerned, not just one. You can't discern just the time, and that's the problem. As God sent forth the word into the world concerning a date, May 21, 2011, and some people got behind that. Oh, wow, we know the time of the end. How exciting. And certainly I want to be on the right side of this situation, if Christ is coming on this date, and therefore they joined up and they began to proclaim this too. But you not only must discern the time, it says here, a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. And so God brought the judgment at the time he said he would. But you see, if you're not truly a wise man, and the Bible's definition of a wise man is someone that has the Spirit of Christ within, someone who's truly born again. And if you're not truly a wise man, you don't have the Spirit of God, you're not going to discern both time and judgment, because the time came as revealed, but then the judgment was of a spiritual nature. And, oh no, this isn't what I signed up for. This isn't anything that anybody can see. And so many go back, many turn around and go to their former occupation or their former lives or their former path, and they do not continue on. But God does grant discernment to a wise man's heart concerning both time and judgment, and even though it may not have come right away, and certainly many of God's people, if not all, were confused, confounded, and troubled when May 21, 2011 came and things did not happen as we expected. But the difference between one of God's people and someone who's not one of God's people is the true believer waits and continues to search the scriptures. And God then, in his time, began to slowly open up our eyes and understanding to discern the judgment as well. Oh, we did have it correct. That was the day of judgment. And now the true believer is comforted and encouraged and now realizes what God did, while the individual who was not a true believer, someone who does not have wisdom to discern both time and judgment, has gone back disappointed, discouraged, and never wants to get involved in anything like that again. Well, this is all according to God's plan. And now in the day of judgment, a prolonged judgment, which likely will continue for 1600 days, God's people go forth as horsemen, seated upon horses, and the horses are breathing or issuing forth out of their mouths fire, smoke, and brimstone. Now the child of God is sharing with others that a spiritual judgment began on May 21, 2011. And that's why the emphasis is upon the mouth, the coming out of the mouth. Well, let's go on to verse 18 in Revelation 9. By these three was the third part of men killed, by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. And we mentioned this earlier, but we can't help but notice the strong emphasis upon the number three in verses 17 and 18. There's breastplates, fire, jacinth, and brimstone. They have those three characteristics. The heads of the, or the mouths of the horses with heads of lions are issuing fire, smoke, and brimstone. Those three. God uses the number itself in verse 18. By these three was the third part of men killed. He repeats it. By the fire, by the smoke, by the brimstone, the number three, indicating the purpose of God of bringing destruction, of punishing the wicked. No, surely they will not be altogether unpunished, as he says in Jeremiah 25, but the cup of wrath will be taken from first those who drink in the churches and congregations, and then it will be handed to the nations of the world. This is God's purpose, and it's also his purpose that his people will declare these things. By these three was the third part of men killed. Now, if you remember, this is really another restatement back in verse 15. Of Revelation 9, and the four angels or messengers were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men. And now we read that by these three, the fire, smoke, and brimstone, the third part of men are killed. The four messengers are loosed to slay the third part of men. The 200 million horsemen go forth, and fire, smoke, and brimstone issues out of the mouths of their horses, and they also slay the third part of men. And this is additional evidence. It's confirmation. We were correct in understanding the four messengers and the 200 million horsemen are one in the same. They both have the same task. It's just synonymous groups. The four messengers are the same as the 200 million horsemen. And the third part of men, let's go over that one more time so we understand. When God ended the church age and the Holy Spirit came out of the midst and Satan entered in, salvation ended for all in the churches. No one was being saved in any church, in any denomination, in any country, in anywhere in the world. No one for the entire period of the Great Tribulation, the entire period of judgment on the churches and congregations, which continued for 23 years, from May 21, 1988 until May 21, 2011, an exact 23-year period, no one was saved. It was an impossibility for anyone to be saved within a church. Outside the church, for the last about 17 years of that 23-year period, God was saving a great multitude, but no one within the church. This is why it was critical that when God opened up the information about the end of the church age and he commanded his people, come out or depart out of the midst of Jerusalem, flee to the mountains. God's people were to obey. And they were to leave and bring their families. And if they did not, they would remain in a place where there was no latter rain, where there was no salvation taking place. Well, we know only very few were moved by God to come out of the churches. The overwhelming vast majority of church members remained. And the number of people counted in churches, numbered around 2 billion, an enormous number of people that did not hearken to God. And to hearken, according to the Bible, is to listen with obedience. You hear the warning and you act upon it, you respond, and you do come out. Well, many heard, many listened with their ears, but they did not act. They did not leave. They reasoned among themselves, perhaps, and talked about the end of the church age with their pastor, probably the last person you should talk about it with. And then they remain. And then May 21, 2011 came, and they were vindicated, weren't they? Oh, those people who said the church age was over also said that would be judgment day, and look, nothing happened. We were correct. We told you no man knows the day or hour. And we also told you the church age isn't over. And so many of them confidently, with assurance, went back to their churches and congregations, no longer worried, no longer concerned about that end of the church age information. And yet the spiritual reality is that just as God said, that all who come out are like the wheat, all who remain are tares bundled for the burning. And on May 21, 2011, the door that was only shut within churches now was shut all over the world outside of the churches. And now, previously, people could not be saved only within the congregation. It was possible outside the congregation anywhere in the world. But now that spiritual condition that was upon the church is expanded and made the transition to all the world. So all of those within the churches, about 2 billion souls, when May 21, 2011 came and God shut the door of heaven, which is a spiritual door that no one could ever see, and when they relaxed and went back to their congregations, or no matter what they did, God ended all hope for all of them because they could not have been saved within their church, since the latter rain did not fall there. Therefore, those within the churches were not saved, and now God ended his salvation program for all the world, and now they cannot possibly become saved, which means they were slain for all intents and purposes. They have been killed spiritually. God slew the third part of men, and he slew them through the 200 million, which is a figure to represent all of God's elect, all whose names were recorded in a Lamb's Book of Life, because they were all found, all had redemption applied, all had the atoning work of the Lord Jesus applied to their hearts and minds. All were given new born again souls, and now there's no more names written in that book still to be found. No more blood to be applied. No more atoning work the gospel must go forth in order for that work of Christ from the foundation of the world to be credited to this individual or that. It's all finished. And this has killed the third part of men. By these three, fire, smoke, and brimstone, that's all that's left. That's the only rain that remains for those in the churches and congregations. They did not experience the wonderful blessing of the latter rain as God saved the great multitude. None within the church are numbered amongst that multitude. And now they have the overflowing rain of fire and brimstone falling from heaven. This is what God's people have taken into their mouths that is issuing forth fire and smoke and brimstone. No more grace. No more talk of mercy. There's not even a drop of water left for any of the rich men who any claiming to be a Christian would be spiritually saying they are rich. There's not a drop of water that can be found that is permitted to be brought to them. And this comes down from the ruling on high, from the highest of authorities, from the Lord God himself. No, when they knock, do not open the door. And when they ask for the drop of water and want Lazarus to go forth to bring it to them, we can only say there's a great gulf fixed between us and you. And they which would come from hence cannot, even though we would. It is our desire to do so. We cannot perform the doing of it because there is no ability. There is no allowance by God. God has said that it is now the day of judgment and he will have judgment without mercy.
Thanks for joining us for eBible Fellowship's Evening Bible Studies. You can hear these studies Monday through Friday over Paltalk, Skype, eBible Fellowship's webcast audio, or over your phone. For more information or to hear other studies, visit www.ebiblefellowship.com. Until our next study, may the Lord's perfect will be done.